Thank you, Kevin. And it's Mr. Wonderful, not Mr. Perfect. Just kidding. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. God, thank you for, God, just this opportunity to share, to continue, Lord, this vein of what we've been speaking on sowing and seeds and, Lord, reaping. And God, we just ask for your spirit right now, Lord, your spirit to anoint these words. You're already here, God. You are already here. Help us, help me just to step out of the way and just get in tune with your spirit. Pray that your words would guide us, Lord, and that the words would be from you. In your name we pray. Amen. I do promise there will be zero references to hobbits, except for that one. We will stay on this planet, this universe, this side of the wardrobe. That was kind of a reference right there. You get it? Nice. But we have been doing a series going off of what we spoke on at ACM about a sower went out to sow, and just continuing in that. Just by way of review, a couple weeks ago Matt shared on why as seeds we struggle, where God is taking the seed, the pain of germination to bear fruit. So Matt spoke on the why, and last week I was in with the kids, but I listened to it on the podcast, listened to John share, and he spoke on what now, as God is preparing us to step out into this message, bearing his message of peace, what? And today I want to share on who. So as a teacher, you know, we talk about that a lot, what, when, why, where, the five W's. So Kevin, you have to show on when next week, I guess. On who. Who is God calling us to sow into? Who has God put into our life? Every one of us in this room has a unique sphere of influence that God has given. No one's is the same. I did a little research last night on Facebook. And on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, if you're not, get with the 90s. just kidding. if you're not, or on Facebook, they have the thing of all your friends. And if you look on someone else's friend list, we'll have a little box that says mutual friends, friends that you have in common. And I did a little research. Dave, we have 78 friends in common. Jenny, we have 136 friends in common. Cooper, 74. Dudley, we have 96 friends in common. You know, Dudley's on Facebook. She's always on Facebook. It's getting her off. So we have mutual friends, but nobody, that's just such a fraction of all the friends that we have, and that's it with Facebook. But we all have a unique group of people that God has put into our life, and no one's is the same. Yeah, you have your little mutual friends, but nobody's group is the same. Everyone in the amount of lives that people touch, there are so many teachers in here and coaches, and we have a mayor and businessmen. It's amazing how many lives are affected by the people just in this small group, thousands of lives that are impacted for the kingdom of God. So by way of what we're talking about, who? Ask yourself, who is in that sphere of influence? Who has God brought in your life? And there's different groups. There are, you know, as a teacher, you know, there's kids in my class that obviously I have a sphere of influence on. I do this after school Christian club. We're in a public school, but it's called the Good News Club. And I get about 40 or 50 kids. That's another sphere of influence. But obviously, I mean, as the year goes on, I'm still learning those kids' names in the Good News Club. You know, so it's a distance. There are people in our lives that are a little, if you think concentric circles, a little bit further out. You know, I'm not as intimate with those kids as I am with the 30 kids in my class that I see every day for 6 hours. So there's different groups. that we are called to sow seed into. Aaron and I, with the world that we have stepped into, with Cade, I have a blog, you know, that is reaching a lot of people, that has reached a lot of people. That's a sphere of influence that we have with the story that God is writing in Cade. And, you know, I'm just throwing the seed out. I don't know what it's doing. Every once in a while we'll get messages back, and but the truth is, I don't know. I don't know the impact that those seeds are having, that sowing is having. So there's those groups that are a little bit further out that God has put in our life. But then there are deeper, much more purposeful groups, people that are in your life that you do see every day, that we do walk with every day, that you know. One thing I can't tell you is who your sphere is. You need to ask God, is that person in my sphere? Is that someone that God has brought into my life for me to sow into, to purposely sow into, and to be aware of that and who those people are? Because the truth is, everybody is sowing. We're all sowing. We're sowing something. So just ask yourself, what is it that I am sowing into these people? What am I sowing onto the kingdom of God? And I did a definition. I did a dictionary.com. The definition of sowing, and it is to scatter seed for the purpose of growth. For the purpose of growth. That is the words that jumped out at me. That these people have been brought into our life, that God has brought into our life for a purpose of growth. That God wants us to sow into them to grow them. That looks different for every person. We have people that know that we're walking with the Lord together. And there are people that don't know the Lord, and it's different. So what kind of seed is God asking us to sow into each one? But it is. It's always for the purpose of growth. I wanted to read from Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 9. The verse I want to hit on is towards the end. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." We are sowing into these lives. So we are sowing some kind of seed. What kind of seed are we sowing? In that sphere of influence, whatever it is, I mean, I would imagine names are already popping into your head. That guy. And it's not always our favorite people. It's people that God has brought to us. For a reason. I love what Jamie Johnson shared a couple of years ago. He said, God went through a lot of trouble to get those neighbors to move into that house next to you. There's a lot of steps to get them there. And you look at it differently. You know, they've been brought to my sphere of influence. Because it could be so easy to shut the door and then go inside and you know, shut the garage door and get on Facebook and there you go, you know, but God has brought these people into our lives. So with that, as we step out into this harvest, into this field, knowing that God is with us, because that's a big burden. You know, I'm causing growth. God is using me to grow. And it can be very easy in our flesh just to put that burden on our shoulders. All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start reading these books and I'm going to learn the five steps of how to reach someone, and it's all on our own shoulders, and we put it all pressure on ourselves, and we think we're doing it, and that goes in so many areas of our life, that we think too much of ourselves, we trust in ourselves too much, that it's about here I go, this is what God has done, and I'm gonna go for it, but it's not the case. It's trusting God. God has put you with these people in your life, and he's going to enable you to do it. He's going to give you the power. But trust in him in those times, whenever we are sowing, to take that step back, get out of the way. God just wants us to get out of the way. Let him work. Let him flow. I love that broadcasting seed that Matt spoke on. That we're not worrying. We're not micromanaging where the seed goes. We're not trying to be the Holy Spirit. Just step out of the way. Let God just love through you. And trust him as you do. He's not off to the side watching, seeing how you do. Come on, I gave those to you. What are you going to do? No, he's right there with you. I think of football. I think of it a lot. No. But you go to a football game, and there's the team, they're out there playing, and there's the coach, and I coached for years, and there's the coach on the side, he's watching, and, you know, he's seeing what they're doing, and then that next day, they watch it on film, and they break it down, look what you did here, look what you did there. That is not a correct picture of our life with God. God is not on the sideline watching and evaluating and going to critique, and he's going to give you stickers on your helmet for plays that I had tons of stickers. it isn't, but if it's funny. If you go to a Pop Warner game, like a six-year-old, seven-year-old game, that's when I started playing when I was 7 years old. And what's the difference, if you notice? The coaches are on the field. They're on the field with the kids. That is a more accurate picture. We're in this battle. This is the huddle. Matt touched on this a couple weeks ago. And then that's the game. But God doesn't stand on the sideline and say, all right, go, you've been trained, you got the play, go. No, he's on the field with you. I remember when I was seven, I was playing defense. I didn't like defense. I liked getting the ball, running back. And I remember the coach saying, I was playing like linebacker, I guess. I don't think I knew what the position was at the time. But he said, Michael Bliss. He called me Michael. By the way, anyone on the East Coast, I'm Michael. Somehow Mike came here. If I go back, they call me Michael. If I go back east with you, you will have to call me Michael. Okay? East Coast Michael. But anyway, he goes, Michael Blitz. I go, okay. I didn't even know what the word meant. I had no idea. Blitz. Okay. And I'm standing there. Blitz, if you don't know, means go. Shoot the gap and go and go try to sack the quarterback. I go, all right. I had no idea. But that picture of God right there on the field with us, he is with you. Trust him. He's not evaluating you. He's helping you sow the seed. He's helping you sow into life. It's really him who is sowing. He's the one who's sowing. He's just sowing through us if we can get out of the way. That's the tricky part, isn't it? Just get out of the way. Take that step back and let him go. Don't try to be the Holy Spirit. Do what only God can do. In that Good News Club I was sharing on, talked about, it can be very easy for me to step into that club totally relying on my own gifts. These are kids I know, I got my guitar, you know, and I have to step back and say, no, I'm going to trust that God is going to show up and he's going to do something here. He is going to sow into these kids. And I'm just going to step back and try to get out of the way. And, you know, that really should be a relief. It's kind of like, oh, okay, the burden's not on me. I love my first year of teaching. I had a very rough class my first year. They just weren't great kids, and I thought it was me. Yeah, I thought, man, I'm awful. They're wild, and I didn't know they were learning much. I just felt really bad. I was really down on myself as a teacher. I mean, halfway through, I was like, maybe this wasn't the right career choice. Maybe I should be doing something else. But then I talked to another teacher who had been teaching for years, and she gave me very good advice. She said, they learn in spite of you. I was like, oh. That is so good to know. They are learning in spite of you. Don't think that you're going to mess it up. But at the same time, they're learning because of me. And then I'm getting, you know, puffed up. And I'm the one that's going to save this kid. You know, it's letting God do his thing. You know, letting God work, and for me just to get out of the way. And it is a relief. It frees us just to love. I love what Robert Grant shared on about leading someone to Christ. What does that mean? Immediately we go to closing the deal, having them pray the sinner's prayer, and that's what leading someone to Christ is. He says, no, our road to Christ is long. It's miles long, and we get the opportunity to walk with somebody a little bit along that road. Maybe it's real brief. Maybe it's quick. It's a one conversation, and that's it. I look back years before I met Jesus. There were people on that road. I think we all can. Little conversations we've had. But then there are people that have sown into us and led us along. And then you go to Harvest Crusade or wherever, and you say the prayer, and, you know, you think it was Harvest Crusade that saved you, and you're forgetting all of these other things that God was doing long before that to lead you. That was just when the fruit was plucked. You know, Kevin shared on that. Leading someone to Christ, and that's all we're doing. And even if it's just for a couple of steps. Sometimes we are blessed and we get to actually close the deal, but it is God who is doing it. I wanted to read from 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 7. Again, it's towards the end, that the main part. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So that neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Let's get out of the way and let God cause the growth. The other thing in these relationships about being real, authentic, it's got to be real. We can't fake this. We can't give something away that we don't own. You can't do it. Charles Simpson talks about having the mumps. If I have the mumps, I could preach measles all day, but people aren't going to catch the measles. What are they going to catch? The mumps. That's what I have. Okay, I'm not contagious with measles, but I can talk about it. They're going to catch what we have. So what do we have? You know, that they are going to catch what we have. We cannot fake this. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be from Him. So, you know, if we don't feel like we are giving something away, that's between me and God. I need to get with God. This has to be good before this can be good. I have to be right with Him, so what I'm giving away is good. If I'm not talking to Him and letting Him sow into me, I'm just going to be sowing bad seeds. It's not going to be real. They're going to catch the mumps. Why aren't they catching the measles? I'm talking about that, and they're just catching the other thing. So spend time with Him. That will change it. You cannot fake it. What does it look like? It's loving people. It's being authentic. It's giving away what God has put into us. Because it isn't real if it is in our hearts. If we don't own it, it isn't real. There was a movie, and I'm going to show a clip to it in a second. It's called The Big Kahuna. Anyone ever see The Big Kahuna? It's with Danny DeVito. You know Danny DeVito? Louis De Palma from Taxi. It's a great show, Taxi. Anyway, Danny DeVito, Kevin Spacey, and another young guy, and they are reps. They're reps at this conference, and they're selling industrial lubricants. That's what they're there for. And the Big Kahuna is this guy that they need to find him, and they need to talk to him. They need to sell their things to him. He's the guy that they need to get. They don't even know what he looks like, but they got to find him. And the young guy finds him. We don't ever see him in the movie. I think you see him at the very end. You don't see it. The whole movie is the relationship with these three guys. 90% of the movie takes place in their hotel room, and their discussions. Because the young guy finds the Big Kahuna. He comes back and says, I just talked to them for 2 hours. And Danny DeVito and Kevin Spacey, the other guy, Larry is his name, it's like, great. They've been doing it for years. The young kid is new. How'd it go? Is he going to buy the stuff? He goes, well, we didn't really get to that. You didn't get to the lubricants? No. Well, what'd you talk about? Well, we talked about Jesus. And he spent the whole 2 hours talking about Jesus. And his heart was in the right place. There's no question about it. But they go on to say, like, no, that's not what the company's paying us to do here. And you know, as you're watching this, you say, you know, those guys, Danny DeVito and Kevin Spacey, they have a good point. It's not authentic. What he's doing is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. You know, and just taking this as an opportunity, I'm going to just give him Jesus right now. And there are opportunities for that. But I'm going to show the clip in a second. This is after they really go at it. And Larry actually fight. Actually, he jumps on him. And you can see the guy, he's out of breath. And then Kevin Spacey leaves the room. And then Danny DeVito talks to him right here. And it's really a good conversation. I do have to go. It's going to be a little choppy at the beginning because I had Ethan fast forward a little bit because there was kind of a off-color word that wouldn't be good here, but it's a good movie. But I'd rather not show that word. I said, you know, we can get the gist of it without hearing that part. So,
Larry is an honest man. You too are an honest man, Bob. I believe that. That somewhere down deep inside of you is something that strives to be honest. The question that you have to ask yourself is, has it touched the whole of my life?
What does that mean?
That means that you preaching Jesus is no different than Larry or anybody else preaching lubricants. It doesn't matter whether you're selling Jesus or Buddha or civil rights or how to make money in real estate with no money down. That doesn't make you a human being. It makes you a marketing rep. If you want to talk to somebody honestly as a human being, ask him about his kids. Find out what his dreams are. Just to find out, for no other reason. Because as soon as you lay your hands on a conversation to steer it, it's not a conversation anymore. It's a pitch. And you're not a human being. You're a marketing rep.
Oh, forgive me if I respectfully disagree.
I love that. When we lay our hands on our conversation to steer it, it's a pitch. And it's about being real. Just ask him about his kids. You know, that's just loving them. That's sowing. That's how we sow. We just love people and talk to them and mean it and care. Stop saying, okay, how can I work this in here? And here I'm gonna spin it right now. You know, we become marketing reps, and God doesn't need marketing reps. He doesn't want marketing reps. Here's our conference. We're all marketing reps, and we put on our shirt. You know, it's got maybe a little cross on it. We're off, and then we take it off at the end of the day. That's a marketing rep. He doesn't need that. He doesn't want that. He wants this abundant life to be flowing through us, and it's just love. It's what it is. It's just, what should I say? Don't worry about what to say. Just love them. And watch what God does. Talk to him. Ask him about his kids. Just for the sake of asking, because you care. And that's what it becomes. That's real. That's contagious. And that is effective. The other thing, the last part, is be patient. We've talked about that, about being patient with this growth that we're sowing into. It takes time. A few years ago, I got an orange tree from a student as an end-of-the-year gift. It was great. I was very appreciative of it. I like gift cards, too. But I took the orange tree. So it was in this plant. I didn't even know that it was an orange tree at first. So anyway, Aaron was all happy about it. We took it. I wrote a very nice thank you note. Anyway, so here's this orange tree, and we put it in the sun. It's in a good spot, and we're watering it, or it's getting watered. And a year goes by, and there's nothing. It's growing, and 2 years goes by, 3 years go by, nothing. I remember one time we moved it in front of our kitchen. Okay, we left it there, and it's still in a good spot. It's growing, and nothing. And I said, you know something? That orange tree is broken. Let's get rid of it. So we go to move it, and we couldn't lift it. The tree had bursted through the flower pot, the plastic flower pot, and put its roots into the ground. And we can, it's still there, the pot's still there, but you cannot move it because the roots have just gone into, because the seed was in there. It was everything that needed for life was in there. It just took so much longer than I had planned, that I expected it to take. And where this tree is, we just set it in front of the kitchen window, and it's kind of a bummer because we look outside, we had a nice view of the slope. Now we have an orange tree right in front of our kitchen window. But it takes time. Fruit takes time. And just yesterday, okay, it's bearing fruit. We ate oranges. I picked this one a little bit too early, but I needed it for the illustration. And they're good. And there's our orange tree. Now I brag about it. Look at this orange tree. But it took so much longer than I thought, than I expected. And that's okay. The growth is in there. The growth is happening. And let God work. Let him do what only he can do. It is the power of God. It's not us. Let's get out of his way. First, step one would be who? Who are the people in your life that God has put there purposefully? Step two is just think of, not step, but think about what have I been sowing into people? What kind of seed have I been sowing? Three, get out of the way. Let God do what only he can do. It's not by my persuasive words. It's God's power. That is the only thing that causes growth, is God's spirit, God's power. Be real. Let God just love through you. Again, that comes with getting out of the way. And let his love flow through you. Be a conduit of his love and that abundant life. That is what is contagious. That's what we want them to catch. That's what we want them to ask about. Give it this abundant life you have. That's what they want. That's what we want them to catch. Not our words. It's our life. And sometimes we use words. Sometimes it completely comes out. And we do talk to them. I hope so, that we are going to talk to them about Jesus and about our need for a Savior. And that is absolutely, we need to do that. But the foundation should be there. The relationship has got to be real for that to really have much effectiveness. And then be patient. Be patient with it, because you don't know what God is doing. You don't realize the effect you're having on people. We are having an impact. God is using us. Let him do what only he can do. I just want to close with, or go back to Galatians, just the last verse. 9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you use us, God. God, thank you that we get to take part in this adventure. God, that we get to be tools for you, God, that you use us in drawing people closer to you, drawing people into your kingdom. God, that you just want to love through us, God. Help us to be aware of that. Help us to be aware of the seed that we are sowing. God, and with everyone in this room, call to our attention the people that you have brought to us, Lord. Who are they? Co-workers, neighbors, who are the people, God, that we have an influence on in such a unique way that has been purposeful by you, purposed by you. Help us to see that, Lord, open up our eyes to that, and help us to step out in purpose in that, and then also to let you do what only you can do. As we go out and sow this seed, we are trusting in you the whole way. Lord, we are trusting that your spirit can do what only your spirit can do. It is your power. It's not our words. It's not our gifts. It's your power that makes the difference. And then help us to be patient, Lord, and let you cause the growth in your time and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.